ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिगुं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमम् ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनश्रृङ्गन्मूर्तिभिः सीदसादनम् श्रीमहागणाधिपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। नारायणम् नमस्कृत्य नरम् चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीम् सरस्वतीम् व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। आत्मस्वरूप बन्धुगण, सो वी वर् लुकिङ्ग् एट् द 9th वर्स् आफ् 4th चाप्टर् इन् दि लास्ट् क्लास्। नौ लेट् अस् टेक् अप् द 10th वर्स्।
वेतरागभयक्रोधाः
मन्मया मामुपाश्रिताः बहवो ज्ञानतपसा पूता मद्भावमागताः। सो it's a nice simple verse, but then Shankara introduces this verse in a very interesting way. Moksha margaha, he says that. Moksha margaha, the path of liberation. You see, we are bound by the cycle of pleasure and pain in this life. The more we seek the pleasure, the more pain we get. And so the whole life has become a life of seeking, no peace. So this is the bondage. Bondage is well known. So a path of liberation. This is the moksha marga. And the path of liberation, it doesn't consist of any activities. Karma, it doesn't consist of. Karma has a role to play, but it is not the direct means for liberation. Similarly, upasana is a manasam karma. Karma only, but mental activity. So, therefore, being very subtle, we always talk about it separately. So, having said karma, the upasana is mentioned. So, though it is also technically karma, but something more than karma it is. So, separately we mention it. Upasana, manasam karma, even that, in spite of its subtle nature, cannot take you to moksha, the liberation, directly. So, jnana devahi kaivalyam. Atma jnana alone can take you to moksham. So, this is the moksha margaha. That's why jnana tapasa, that word is coming here. Tapas is intense effort. That is how you can take tapas. So, suppose you want to achieve something, you have to put your mind and heart in it and strive for it and sacrifice a few comforts wherever necessary, and if necessary, take up some difficult situations also, face difficulties also. So all this is included in the word tapas. That is how tapas is understood. So, but here, in the moksha marga, in the path of liberation, the tapas is just knowledge, jnana tapasa. Very interesting usage. Jnanameva tapaha. Shankara has something more to say about it also. But while introducing the verse, he says, moksha marga, this path of liberation. Now, generally, people ask, when was this path of liberation discovered? What was the date of Gita? When this Hinduism started? Hinduism or whatever. See, Hinduism is not an ism. It is not a religion. It's a culture. In fact, Hinduism is nothing but Hinduism. It's antarmukha. Be antarmukha. There is nothing to do outside. It is a very unreal world. There is something to do within. Whatever is within. That is Hindu. So that is Hinduism. So for that, what can be the date? It is not a system. It is not a cult. It is not a sect. What kind of date can be there for it? There can be no date. So, the desire for happiness, the seeking of happiness, when it started in the human history? You tell me that, I will tell you the date of Moksha Marga. So, when the seeking of happiness, when it started? I tell you, it is as old as human beings, humankind. Seeking of happiness is as old as that. And therefore, this Moksha Marga, the path of liberation, is also as old as humankind. It did not start, definitely it did not start with Sri Krishna. It did not start with Shankara, obviously. It did not even start with Sri Krishna. Sri Krishna is an incarnation. Bhagavan himself was teaching, but it did not start with him. So he says, Purvamapi, there are many Mahatmas were there, even earlier. This is what Sri Krishna says. Even earlier there were many Mahatmas, they have gained moksham. What is this moksha? There must be some way of describing it. Madbhava magata. They have become one with me. That is the moksha. Very clean definition of moksha. Mat is Ishvara. So, you become God. How to become God? Can anyone become something other than what he is? No. You see, things cannot become, one thing cannot become something else. People think that they become like that. You give an example, suppose if I ask, yeah, gold has become necklace. This is the example given. But then this example just doesn't work because gold has not become necklace. If gold has to become non-gold, then nobody will give this gold to the goldsmith. Gold remains gold. Sometimes he manages to make it non-gold, at least partially. Then we object to that. We don't like it. Therefore, gold remains gold. It has to remain gold. It will remain gold. It won't become something other than that, other than what it is. So, then what is this necklace? If gold remained gold, then what is this necklace? It is your imagination. Anyway, that apart, so nothing is going to become something else. So, then how to become God? If I am a small limited being, then how to become God? You cannot become God unless you are one. So, that means what? Is it possible to become God? Yes. Does that mean that I am already God? Yes. That is the only way. Then I need not become God? Yes. Then why you say become God? Are you God now? No. Yeah. Relative to what you are now, what you take yourself to be, what is possible is presented before you. In that sense, bhavati, becoming is used. Agatah. In fact, the word, not only becoming, the word reaching is used. So, in that sense it is used. Therefore, you see, using the word is okay, nothing wrong with it. But you have to know the meaning. Therefore, here, madbhava magataha means you are not going to reach God by traveling the space, etc. So, you can go to Mars, you can go to Moon, of course, we have gone. We means humankind. So, they may end up going to Mars. Maybe they can go somewhere else also, probably. But for moksha, you need not do any of these things. While remaining where you are, you can discover your true nature as the Godhead. Because you happen to be the divinity even now. Even when the person takes himself to be a limited being, he is the divinity itself. So, now only then what is standing between this person and the divinity? What is standing in between as an obstacle? Ignorance, ajnanam. In fact, I tell you, this is not some theoretical proposition or an academic discussion. This knowing is such a powerful thing it is. You know, you are free. You don't know, you are bound. It is like, suppose you have a desire. Some desire, which is alright. I am not any against any particular desire or any such thing. Just we analyze desires, that's it. Already it is coming. Veta raga, it is already started. So it will come. But suppose you have a desire. You just, I will make a proposal, you think about it. A desire is a bondage. Because while nursing a desire, you cannot be free. Right? So while having a desire, a strong desire in the mind, there is no freedom for the person. He is tense. See, while standing in the cinema queue, in this cinema queue, this is an Indian situation. As kids, we were standing in the queue. And he is selling the tickets. All these tickets, they are like a book, you know, the tickets, receipts, they are like a book. They are made into a book with pins and all that. So he takes a rupee and gives one, he tears one and gives. So slowly as he is giving, the book is becoming thinner and thinner and thinner. And I am standing somewhere at a distance, I am looking at that book only. And I tell you how they do. Once the last ticket he puts in the hand, he closes the door. He won't stand there and explain, sir, tickets are over. This is not America. He closes the door. Over. Now there are no tickets. So, everybody is tense. And they are pushing. I look back and tell her, don't push, I say. By pushing you will not get ticket. But he too knows it. He too knows it, but he is tense. Tension. There is no freedom. A desire is a bondage. Suppose I know I don't need it. Suppose I know. Somehow I know. The owner of the movie theater is my friend or whatever, or I don't need to see this movie, or I have already seen it, therefore I am not going to see it because I mistook it. It is the old movie which I have seen, so I don't need to see. My goodness. So much burden is removed from the head and I move away from that queue and I stand by the side of the queue like a king. There is freedom. So, I tell you, freedom is now and here. We bind ourselves by all kinds of wrong ideas and the wrong ideas alone bind a person. Nobody binds. The world doesn't bind. The world is not meant for binding anybody. It is our wrong interpretation of the world which binds us. Therefore, it is the idea which binds a person. People are driven from pillar to post by an idea, I tell you. So, people are pushed into crime by an idea. The ideas, they rule the world. Not guns and tanks, etc. It is the ideas which rule the world. Therefore, never underestimate idea, understanding. Everything else follows knowing. Knowing is the top thing. So if you are bound by wrong knowledge, by wrong understanding, there cannot be any wrong knowledge, wrong understanding, misconception. If you are released by correct understanding. So jnana tapasa. Therefore, jnanam, knowing, it is the means of liberation, then what can be greater penance than jnanam? What tapas you are talking of? No, we will do bhajan. Okay, bhajan you do by all means. No, we will do rituals. Rituals also you do. But can it be a substitute for jnana? No way. So, jnanam alone is tapas. Everything else subserves and in fact should subserve jnanam. If you are doing a ritual and the aim of the ritual is to prepare yourself for the jnanam, then you are on the right path. That becomes a tapas. Tapas of the right kind, jnana tapas it is. Because ritual performed with a sense of duty, without greed and all that, so it purifies the mind and he is already in the path of liberation. That is called karma yoga. If you are doing devotion, bhakti to Ishvara, it is also in the path of karma yoga only. But here bhakti is coming, that's why I already mentioned it now. Manmayaha maam upashritaha. Therefore, so you develop that attitude of devotion to the Lord and you are not interested in some silly things like heaven and all that, some crumbs of happiness, we are not interested. We just love the Lord, that's it. Why we should love the Lord? Why? Because we cannot remain without loving the God, that's why. I love life. Why should I love life means what? What kind of question it is? I love life, that's all. I don't know why I love life, but I love life. I love Atma. I don't know why I do that, but I love Atma. Similarly, same is the case when I say, I love Ishvara. Devotion is love. The separate word is used to devotion. When it is the love towards the Ishvara, then it is devotion. So, this love also, bhakti also, it has to become a means to jnana. Then it becomes jnana. Jnana tapaha. Yasya jnanamayam tapaha. Undakopanishad says. Therefore, anyway, the context is different. So here, jnana tapasa. Therefore, knowledge is the true effort. And any other effort like karma or bhakti, when they subserve the knowledge, namely, subserve means it's not that we are putting it a lower pedestal, etc. That is not the idea. They help the person to gain the knowledge. Means what? It's not that some huge thing he will gain from somewhere. That is not the idea. To gain the knowledge means very simple, to know. That's all. Gain knowledge means you are not going to gain a lottery or anything. It's not that kind of a thing. Just to know. Just to know. That is jnana tapas. And that is the path to moksha. Moksha meaning madbhava magataha. So, you are the divinity. You have not known it. You have totally misunderstood yourself. You have a totally wrong notion about yourself. You are the divinity itself. Human being is searching for God in the earth and in the heaven. But he doesn't know that God abides in his own heart. Therefore, Ishvara sarva deshana sarva bhutanam hurdeshet junatishthati. So it is reaching the God is same as a journey from oneself to oneself. Because God is yourself, the real self. And so it is a journey from the ego to the real self. That is the journey. Madbhava magataha. So how to do that journey? Just eliminate all wrong definitions about yourself. That's all. Puta madbhava magataha. So, the divinity, it is very much my nature. And it's not that people have started gaining moksha after Krishna's incarnation. It's not like that. Before that, what happened? All our forefathers before Krishna, they all went to hell and we only will go to heaven. What kind of thing it is? It is not like that. Bahavaha madbhutaha madbhava magataha. Knowledge purifies the person. Putaha. People think that by taking bath, they will become purified. Maybe yes, at the level of the body, not at the level of the Atma. That knowledge alone purifies. Because human being is not a physical entity. Suppose human being is a physical entity, like a coffee cup, then it has to be cleaned. And cleaning with soap becomes the cleaning. But that is a very superficial thing. Because human being is not a physical entity, he is a conscious being. Means, he is knowingness. Knowing is his nature. Like some sandal is there, sandal paste. What is its nature? Fragrance is its nature. It cannot but be fragrant. Sugar crystal cannot but be sweet. It has to be sweet. Even if it tries to be otherwise, it cannot. Because it is its nature. Similarly, a human being is a conscious being. You are the knowingness. That's why when you open the eyes, you know. When you keep the eyes, ears open, that means you pay attention to the sounds, you know. The smells or the fragrances, etc., you pick up the smells and you know. Touch, sense of touch, you know. Tastes, you know. Great knowledge like physics, chemistry, etc., you know. It is knowing and knowing and knowing. You can do only one thing, that is knowing. If you can do a few other things, they have their origin in the knowing. That is seat of knowing, that is the consciousness, that is one's nature. Therefore, knowing alone will save the person. Wrong understanding, misconception alone binds the person. dukkham. Suffering is in ignorance. So that's why Shri Krishna says, gatasu nagatasu shcha nanu shochanti panditaha. Pandita, pandita means panda asya sanjata. Panda atmajnanam asya sanjata. He has understood his true nature. So he is the pandita, not a title holder. So he knows his true self. For him, there is no suffering. So nanu shochanti. So this way, many people, bahavaha, many great mahatmas, they have known their self and become one with the Godhead. Bahavaha jnana tapasa puta madbhava magataha. Okay. Now we want that moksha margam. We also want it. You see, and many people traversed this path and reached the highest goal. Why not we also travel that path? We will also, we also would like to travel that path. So, you see, mahajano yenagatasya panthaha. If you want to go to New York, you go by 80 or 78. That's mahajano yenagatasya panthaha. So many people have gone by that road and reached New York and they are telephoning from there. So we go by that. It's a highway, freeway. Freeway, you need not make any payment also. Something like that, freeway or highway, expressway. It is called prasthanam. Mahaprasthanam it is. Prasthanam is a journey on the highway. So, moksha marga is like that kind of a prasthana. But you have to fulfill a few qualifications. What are they? Three of them. Just three qualifications. Vetaraga bhayakrodhaha manmayaha mamupashrita. So, we have come back to square one. Again, I cannot escape, I tell you. How I can escape? When Sri Krishna repeats himself so much, then I am stuck with it. So, raga, vetaraga. Vetaraga is same as viraga, which is same as vairagyam. Only the same thing it is. It's not a different thing. Raga. What is raga? Attachment. That is raga. So, this attachment, it destroys the courage of the person. We want courage. Dhiraha. Atva dhiraha. Harsha shokau jahati. For gaining atmajnanam, we want courage. Vedanta is for people of courage. This is not for cowards. This is for courageous people. Dhiraha. Atva dhiraha. Harsha shokau jahati. So, samadukha sukham dhiram. Somrutatvaya kalpate. So, this is knowledge and this moksha is for courageous people, not for covered people. So, how we gain courage? You find out how you lost courage in the first place. We lose courage by attachment. Attachment destroys courage. So, even in a situation where we can remain fearless and courageous, we become fearful because of attachment. So, you see, this attachment is a slavery. To crave is to slave. It is as simple as that. Therefore, it is a, attachment is like a deficiency disease. You know, this is certain things, deficiency, vitamin B2 is deficient. So some disease will come, some rickets or some such thing. So vitamin A is deficient, eyesight problem will be there. Similarly, that it's a deficiency disease. So attachment is a deficiency disease. Otherwise we are okay. Body is okay, it has the correct weight, food is being taken, everything is going on, everything is okay. But that a few micrograms of vitamin that is required, it is not there. Then everything else turns into ashes. So, that small quantity, microgram level only, that factor they call, that factor must be there. Similarly, in our life, vairagyam should be there. In fact, we may have a good dose of non-attachment that will serve a very good purpose. Non-attachment. Non-attachment is not like some foolhardiness. It is not that. Non-attachment is a growth in understanding. It's a viveka. Viveka vairagya. So, viveka is the prerequisite for vairagya. vitaraga, you know. So viveka means discrimination. Once I know that this is the nitya and this is anitya, this is real, this is unreal, once I know that, then once I clearly know that, pakka understanding, this is real, this is unreal, then the rejection of the unreal, it doesn't take any effort. So viveka is shifting, vairagya is rejecting the unnecessary. This is a very big process. This is very necessary. You see, on this path of moksha marga, you are not supposed to travel with heavy luggage. There are restrictions of luggage here. You have to travel light. In this path, you have to travel light. If you want to go to heaven, that is a different thing. You can travel with a lot of luggage, which is the punyam and all that. But on the path of moksha marga, you should travel light. In fact, you should travel alone without any baggage whatsoever. Direct, no check-in business, direct walking in only. You print the boarding card at home. You can print it at home. You need not go and present yourself there. Easy check-in it is called. So, you can print the boarding card at home. You need not check in any luggage. Then you just walk in, that's it. So, moksha marga is like that. You have to get rid of a lot of unnecessary baggage accumulated. That is vetaraga, non-attachment. We need a good dose of intelligent non-attachment. Intelligent means understanding, viveka purvaka, intelligent non-attachment to cure this deficiency disease called attachment. Why I said deficiency? Because in every attachment, that sense of deficiency is there. Without that, I am nothing. I need it to be something. This is the deficiency. So that sense of deficiency or want is felt centered around oneself in the heart, and from that sense of want, attachment comes, and that attachment is the disease. Therefore, intelligent non-attachment is a very important precondition for being eligible to traverse this path of moksham, vetaraga. Then bhaya. You see, bhaya is considered, in some places bhaya is considered virtue. In religion, bhaya is considered virtue, but not in Vedanta. In religion, suppose you say, oh, I am afraid of hell, then you are a ripe candidate for going to heaven. Then you are right person for the cult or for the sect, particular thing. So papad bhayam, that is considered as a virtue. Even one poet says papad bhayam, we need a good dose of fear from sin. That we don't agree with that. Why? What is his logic? The fear keeps you away from sin. That is his logic. It works at a point, you know, like government notification. So police station is there around, means we'll be a little more cautious. Like police car is there behind you or before you, then we reduce to 60 miles or 65 miles speed. So bhayam. But then I tell you, that is not a very developed thinking. That is not. The correct thinking is, sin, I keep away from sin, not out of fear of this consequences, but because I don't like it. It is against my salt. I don't like it. Why should I commit sin? So that spontaneity should come. Spontaneously, we keep away from sin, not out of fear. Therefore, at a religiosity level, fear is considered a qualification, but not in Vedanta. In fact, in Vedanta, unless that fearlessness is there, you cannot understand Atma. This is very important. Because jnanam, Atma, you are the divinity. Atma va idagum sarvam. You are the whole. That understanding will come, and all the division is apparent. Atma is one without the second. So to gain that kind of understanding, the bhayam, it becomes the biggest obstacle. That's why daivi sampat, what is the capital on this path of moksha? That capital, it started with abhayam. Abhayam sattva samshuddhi. In fact, abhayam means two things. Abhayam is moksham. In the ultimate goal, there is no bhayam, there is no fear. That's why it is called abhayam. The path is also abhayam. To gain abhayam, you start with abhayam. That fearlessness, that means, so where from this fear comes? What is the origin of fear? You see, origin of fear is the false identity with the body. You may say again and again, I am saying about the identity with the body, but then what to do? That is the main cause of all the ills. Suppose a person has typhoid infection. He has headache. Why? Due to the infection. His mouth is bitter. Why? Due to the infection. He has cramps in the tummy. Why? Due to the infection. The whole body is paining. Why? Due to the infection. Only one answer is there. There is no second answer. Similarly, there are desires, binding desires. Why? Due to the body identity. There are fears. Why? Due to the body identity. In fact, desires and fears are the focal point of the falsehood, of the false ego, false body identity. And unfortunately, our daily life vibrates between desire and fear. Sometimes we are desiring, sometimes we are afraid. The whole life is led like that. Very unintelligent way of living. So, suppose you decide to keep the desires away, then you will not know what is fear. Because the moment you desire something, then veta raga, raga bhaya krodha, that is the sequence. Not only here, earlier, everywhere these three come together. Raga is desire. Bhaya, the desire, you desired something, now you gained it, now bhaya comes in, and then krodha. So you see, my friend has purchased a new car, a Maruti new car. Maruti car is like a tin box. It is. If you touch it with force, it will get a dent. It is a tin thing it is. And so he is permanently afraid of his car getting a dent. This dent should not happen. And so he is afraid. While parking he is afraid it may be dented. Something touches it, it will get a dent. So he is afraid of denting. And then if he is traveling, when the red light comes, he is afraid of getting dented, because too closely packed travel situation in India, it can happen any time. That's why I am telling you. So he is ever afraid of getting dented. And then one traffic light came, and somebody, a scooterist, the scooter is a balancing act, it is for the scooterist. So what happened? The red light came, and so he brakes. The scooterist has brakes. He brakes the vehicle. Once he has put the brakes on, then he cannot balance it anymore. So he has to bend this way or this way. And now the engine is sitting on one side. Therefore, the scooter bends to that side. And he maintains his body by keeping one leg onto the floor, onto the road. So yeah, that's why a scooter driving person should have strong knees and all that. Because he has to bear the total weight on his one leg. He is doing it. But there is some bend. All the vehicles are jam-packed. So this hit this car and there was a dent. He was afraid of the dent and afraid and afraid and afraid, and it happened. When it happened, he was furious. My car was dented. He wants to come out and attack that scooter person. But he cannot come out because he cannot open the door. He cannot open the door. Because you cannot open the door. It's not like here. You just can't open the door. No way. You go home and then only you can open the door. So he cannot come out. He is fuming inside the seat. I told him, why you are so angry? Poor fellow, he is a scooterist. He doesn't want to hurt you or your car. He is nothing against your car. Why you are angry? No, no, he has caused a dent. He did not cause the dent. He was trying to stand on two legs and this dent. He did not cause it. Why he should cause dent to your car? I don't see. He is not a criminal. He is like a you only, a white collar gentleman. No, no, my car is dented. Yeah, it has to be dented one day or the other. So, I tell you, bhaya, raga, bhaya, krodha. That is the sequence. Raga, bhaya, krodha. I have so much love for my body. Therefore, I am always afraid of something happening to the body. And when it really happens, I am furious about anybody who is around me. What kind of thing it is? Raga, bhaya, krodha. A very destructive sequence. One leading to the other. Hetu hetu mat bhava. Raga is the hetu for bhaya. And the same raga is the hetu for krodha. Therefore, so, under this desire and fear, the raga and bhaya, they reinforce the ego all the time. They are the self-centered state. When you have a desire, it's a self-centered state, I tell you. State of mind. Only when you are selfish or self-centered, that comes out as a desire. Desire is a self-centered state. Fear is a self-centered state. And any self-centered state, even for a short while, it is very destructive. It is not good. It is always destructive. And between fear and desire and fear, anger arises. In fact, anger is always like this. Raga fulfilled bhaya, raga unfulfilled anger. That is the way. So they stay together. Raga, bhaya, krodha. So you need to come out of this vicious circle by a good dose of intelligent non-attachment, vairagyam. Manmaya mam upashrita. Here it's a compare and contrast thing. You have the world and you have the God, Ishvara. The interesting thing is, the locus is same. You have the gold, you have the necklace. How many loci are there now? One or two? Only one. So you have the screen, movie screen. You have the scene. How many loci are there? Only one. Locus is not different. Same is the situation with reference to this world. You have the world, you have the Ishvara. They are not two different things. If Ishvara is in heaven and world is before you, then that locus is different, this locus is different. Not so. Locus is one. But this is the trick we have to carefully hold on to. But I tell you, this gold necklace example, please don't get tired of it, because it's a good example. If I could substitute it, I would have substituted long back. But I don't know how to substitute it. So, you see, when you are relating to the necklace, and when you are relating to the gold, there is an entire difference, big difference in the approach, in the personality. A person relating to the necklace, that is a very funny state of mind, very undesirable state of mind. The same person relates to the gold. Gold means where it is, they say, that alone, it is not any other thing. The same person relates to the gold. He is a free person. This necklace-relating person is a bound person. Gold-relating person is a free person. It is like that. It is a very important difference. Because suppose you have gold, whatever value it has, it has. It serves as a bulwark of economic stability or whatever. And it will be very good insurance for a rainy day. Insurance companies you cannot believe, but gold you can believe. Gold is the, it protects a person. That's why in India, the middle class and lower middle class people, they have a little gold. At the time of marriage, it comes into their life, some gold. And whenever they are in trouble, that apada we call, means a disaster. Serious sickness has come to somebody in the family, so they have to take the person to the hospital. Or some urgent thing has come, the crops have failed and they want some urgent money, etc. Gold is the target. First target is the gold. Take this gold and put in a mortgage and get some money. You will get money, that liquid cash it is, in solvent thing it is. So you will get immediately. And in a way, it saves the person. It is a savior. Therefore, it is a savior really. In India, the lower middle class people, they have crossed many difficulties in life with the small little gold which they have. They put it with somebody, get the money, and overcome the difficulty, purchase the medicine, and they continue their life. And if God permits, then they will get back their gold by paying. Otherwise, I know any number of them, they will tell to that mortgage person and do namaskaram. Sir, I am not in a position to pay. May God bless you. You take that gold. If you calculate it and if I get some more money out of you, please give it. If it is it just coincides, then keep it. They say like that and they are free. So a gold saves the person, whereas necklace binds the person. What is necklace? What do you mean by necklace? Just, it is purely subjective thing it is. So, highly cultural conditioning, this is the best example for cultural and psychological conditioning. So, it binds the person. Suppose I wear a necklace, nobody notices it, I become sad. Really? Because a necklace is meant for somebody, really. I wear it for somebody else. Suppose a wife and husband are there. I mean, newly married wife and husband are there. After some time, it becomes all normal. But a newly married couple is there. And this young lady wears a necklace. She is wearing it from morning onwards. They are going somewhere and she is wearing it. He is seriously driving the car or arranging things, etc. He never noticed her neck and never made a single comment. Within 1 hour, she will become totally frustrated. So, I tell you, relating to the necklace, relating to the gold, they invoke entirely two opposite personalities in us. Now, relating to the world and relating to Ishvara, they are two different things. Manmayaha, mamupashritaha. So, necklace is there. Where there is necklace, there alone gold is there as the substratum. So the message is, Sri Krishna's message, dear sir, do not relate to the necklace, relate to the gold. Understand that the necklace is subjective, unreal. Gold alone is real. Showing the same thing, same way. Look around the world around you. It is a very glittering world. You cannot say you cannot say anything about this world. World is such a thing, it is anirvachaniya it is. You cannot say it is. At the same time, you cannot say it is not. You cannot say either way. And it is narupam asyeha tathopalabhyate. Asya rupam yatha lokaihi drushyate tatha na upalabhyate. It is like necklace, like necklace or whatever. So this world, the way it appears, it is not real. Upalabhyate na. You cannot hold on to it. It just slips away from our hands. It is a very slippery, like eel. So, you just can't hold on to it. And it is just not the right thing the way you look at it, you see it. Na rupam asyeha tathopalabhyate. Bhagavan says in 15th chapter, we say it every day. Nanto na chadir na cha sampratishtha. This world has no sampratishtha. It has no solid basis. The basis of the world is your ignorance. There is no solid basis for it. It is entirely subjective. It attracts you and it stands on your false notions. Your false notions is its bread and butter. Nacha sampratishtha. That is the world. But then the same world has its base, its underlying reality, Ishvara. Ishvara is the screen on which the world appears. Ishvara is not sitting in heaven. Therefore, while looking at the world, grass drishti, means grass vision is, the world consists of nama-rupa, names and forms, plurality, and so many things are there. This is my thing, that is not my thing, this is a liked thing, this is not liked thing. This is the relating with the world. As long as you relate with the world like that, the glory of the world, the underlying reality, namely the God, Godhead, is denied. You see, Ishvara doesn't want to share your loyalty. So, veta raga bhaya krodhaha manmaya. You be loyal to me all the way. You are halfway loyal to the world and halfway loyal to me, no way. Some crumbs of happiness, some boons he may give. He is not jealous that way. He will give you. He is going to say that also. He will give whatever you want. If you want the world, okay, take it. But if you want me, then you cannot have the cake and eat it too. You want me, then raga, bhaya, krodha, they are the emotions associated with the world vision, the world-centric life. The world-centric life has only these three qualities, nothing else. Raga, bhaya, krodha. Desire, fear and anger. So, these three states, they belong to the world. You cannot come to with me carrying the luggage of the world. Veta, keep it away. Veta, totally, visheshena ita gata. So, totally keep this luggage of the world away. Manmayaha. Then come to me. Mam upashritaha. Abide in me. Refuge. Ashrayanam is refuge. So, you take refuge in me. Then me is not Shri Krishna Devaki Putra. Not like that, Ishvara. So, Vamadevavatu. Shastra drishtyat upadeshaha Vamadevavat is a Brahma Sutra. So, in that Brahma Sutra, this topic was mentioned. When Shri Krishna says me, what is the meaning of this me? This me, you see, you can use the word I. Me means I. The word I can be used in two senses. One, I, the son of so and so. So, Indian passport holder, that kind of a description it is. So, with a historic self, that I, that is that I. This I, it is called loka drushti. Loka drushti means people's understanding, which also means ignorant understanding. That is the meaning of it. Loka means ignorance. In Shankara's Bhashya, wherever you see the word loka, it means ignorance. So, loka drushti means ajnani drushti, chartha. A very nice way of saying it. So, loka drushti it is. So, when Shri Krishna says it, he is not using loka drushti. Loka drushtiya upadeshaha na. Nobody teaches from the loka drushti point of view. So, it is not the world-centric vision. Then what vision? Shastra drushtiya to upadeshaha. Upadeshaha, too, on the other hand. The upadesha is not by loka drushti. Then what? On the other hand, shastra drushtiya to upadeshaha. Upadeshaha. By Shastra Drishti, the vision of the Vedas. Veda is the Shastra. Shastra is the Vedam. So the Gita is the Shastram. Gita Shastra, you know. So that is the vision. According to that vision, I means the Brahman. Shri Krishna, he is teaching with Shastra Drishti. Therefore, Manmayaha means Brahmamayaha. Mam upashritaha, Brahma upashritaha. Wherever you find this mama, mam, etc. coming from Bhagavan, it means Brahma, the Godhead. Shastra drishtyat upadeshaha vamadeva vat. Vamadeva is the example given. I remembered it, therefore here somebody told this Shri Krishna appears to be a very egotistic person. Because he says, I, me, mine, mama, my, so many times. In this verse he said thrice. So manmayaha mam upashritaha madbhava magataha. What is this ego at all? It is not ego. It is shastra drishti, like Vamadeva. You know, Vamadeva is a small story in Upanishad. So Vamadeva was the child in the womb of the mother. He is not yet born. He is still in the mother's womb. But even in the mother's womb, he was a jnani. He knew. Just a little prarabdha was left, so he took another birth. In the earlier birth itself, he was almost a jnani. Now he is the pakka jnani. And then the child was speaking from the mother's womb. What is the total story details? I don't remember. So the child says, it says, Aham manurabhavam suryascha. That is the vakya. Vamadevaha. I was the manu, the originator of the mankind. Manu, man, you know. So the originator of the mankind, I was. And the sun who is shining before you, that is I am. This is what is said. Then the question was raised. How this child, fetus, not even fetus, a full-grown child, maybe born tomorrow, or will be born tomorrow or day after, but still, within the womb of the mother, he is sitting and he is talking. I am the son. How he can be the son? He can, while sitting in the womb of the mother, how he can be the son? No, it is not lokadrushti. He is not talking from your point of view. He is talking from the point of view of Vedas. Atma, from that point he is talking. So, Sri Krishna's language is the Shastra Drishti. Therefore, manmayaha means Ishvaramayaha. Mam upashritaha. Ishvaram upashritaha. Upashrayanam prapatti sharanagati. These are the words. You stop taking refuge in the world. You take refuge in me. This is a very fantastic proposition. You just understand this proposition and practice it in life, you will discover your divinity within no time. Divinity path you keep aside. The samsara, the world, it cannot bother you anymore. You see, here this is the psychology of bhakti, psychology of sharanagati. A human being, he looks at himself and finds himself as very insufficient, very much wanting person, a wanting person. I am very insufficient. It is me versus the entire universe. So, it is a very unequal bargain it is. So, me versus the nature. Nature is so powerful, its power is unimaginably big, whereas I am a small, puny, little guy here sitting, and I am helpless against the nature. And then, me versus the society. Society seems to have taken a joy in persecuting me. Why me? So, if a person in distress, he feels like that. Especially in the office when a charge sheet is served, etc. He feels like that. My goodness, this whole company, this 10-story building and hundreds of employees, big management, all of it is against me. It is trying to crush me. This is how he feels. A sense of despondency comes. So, a human being feels within himself this way. Emptiness, he feels an emptiness within, a void within. And so, he looks around for support. That support is called sharanam. Sharanam gruha rakshitroho. That is the nighantu, amara nighantu. Sharanam means home. Sharanam means protector. Rakshita is protector. So, he looks around for protection spontaneously. It is like, suppose you find yourself alone in a huge place, in a hall, semi-dark hall, then what you do spontaneously, instinctively, what you will do is, you look around whether there is somebody else or not. In a Halloween house, you look around whether somebody else is there. If somebody else is there, okay, I am a bit more comfortable. If I am the only guy with this demon, then it is all problem. So this way, we are looking for protection because we are inherently unsafe within. Fair enough. Nothing wrong in it. Every human being is like that. But then we seek this protection from the world, of things and people. This is where we make a mistake. So, in small things it's okay. I'm not talking about small things. The attitude, the psychology of human mind I am talking. So, you generally, this is what we call investment. So we invest in the world. We take an insurance policy and feel a little better. And have a term deposit. Means 5 years or 10 years it will become mature. And the person, he knows our psychology. He tells, in the middle if you want also I won't give you. That is what he tells. When he tells that, we become reassured. Because we are not sure of ourselves. We may get attracted, tempted to withdraw that money. But he says, no, I will not give you. Up to 5 years you cannot touch it. When he says that, oh, you will not allow us to take in between, no. Even if it is our money also, we won't allow us to take, no, we won't allow it to take you. Okay, then you take this and put in that deposit, this person. He doesn't believe in himself. He cannot believe in his strength of mind. He believes in the other person, in the other institution. So I tell you, we are looking around, we are very, very insufficient within ourselves. We are looking around for support. This is the human psychology. So, and also for us, the world appears to be very real, solid. And the idea of Ishvara is some nebulous idea. Ishvara is an idea, not a clearly formed idea, some idea. These godmen, you know, these awkward-robed people, they talk about it. Probably they have some better understanding about it, but as far as we are concerned, it is a small idea sitting in some corner of the mind. This is the state of affairs. In this state of affairs, you cannot reach moksha. You have to address this state of affairs. You have to reverse it on its head. You have to make it topsy-turvy. The world looks very glittering, very solid, very real, very capable of protecting, but it is none of those things. Your understanding of Ishvara alone as the substratum of this world, that alone is the worth investing thing. You have to invest in Ishvara only. You have to think of Ishvara. What is the Ishvara? Ishvara won't stand before you. World stands before you. You should close your eyes to the world. Namely, I am not saying you should close and sit in a corner. If you have to do that, you may have to do that also. Nothing wrong in it. But when you are facing the world also, you should be able to see through the world. The world is very glittering, yet it is not real. The only reality is the existence absolute, Brahman, the substratum of the world, the Panchabhutas which have manifested from Ishvara, that alone is real. That alone can protect me. That alone can save me. Not this glittering world. That doesn't mean I am indifferent to the world. That doesn't mean I will throw away the things which are there. Everything will remain in its place. But our perspective towards things will change. It is understood in the proper perspective. A policy, an insurance policy, you need not throw it into the waste basket. But it is not the savior. Money is not the savior. Savings is not the savior. Having children is not the savior. It is not going to save anybody. Having one gentleman told me, I am now comfortable and I am living in a basti which is close to Apollo Hospital. So that is a very wrong way of investment. You will be disappointed by that. So the correct way of addressing this problem of deficiency is you have to live in the world. You cannot leave the world and go elsewhere. Wherever you go, there is world. So be in the world, but don't be off the world. You don't invest in the world. Let the world invest in you. Gain courage. Leave this fear. And how to gain courage? There is only one way. There is no other way. Just surrender to Ishvara. Where is Ishvara? You invoke in your heart. Ishvara is in your heart. Shastra says you invoke in your heart and surrender to Ishvara. Let us see what Ishvara will do. No, no, will he allow me to get this thing or not? We will see. We allow the prarabdha to unfold, how it unfolds, let us see. Yadeva bhavati tadeva mangalaya. We have taken refuge in Ishvara. Now Ishvara will decide our fate. So, suppose Ishvara decides our fate in an undesirable way, there is no desire yet left. Once you have left, surrendered Ishvara, then whatever way he decides, we accept it. We say this. You see, we ask a friend, I want an advice from you. Okay, you tell what is this, I will advise you. But you have to advise in such a way that it will be okay with me. What kind of advice it is? You cannot ask like that advice. The other person, you should allow him to give an advice from his point of view in a neutral way. And his advice may not appeal to you momentarily, but you should be ready to take it. So this similarly, when you take refuge in Ishvara, then you have to understand, there is a higher power, the mysterious universal power. Mysterious in the sense you cannot define it, that is the meaning. It is the universal power. It is running the show. It is running the galaxies and it is giving birth to new stars. It is swallowing old stars. And it is moving the planets around the sun. It is moving the entire life on this earth. It is moving every cell in this body. Can't it protect me? That force, that higher power called Ishvara. In fact, whether I know it or not, whether I understand it or not, the Ishvara alone is running the show. You think that you are running the show, there cannot be worse and wrong falseness, falsehood than that. You are not running anything. Who is running? The hero is dancing on the movie screen. Who is running the hero? He is running the show there? No. All the puppets are played by a higher force, an unseen force. Puppets are dancing on the screen. An unseen force drives them. Similarly, a universal power is running the show, is running the world. Every particle in this world is moving by the will of Ishvara, including this body, this senses, this mind, this intellect, this ego, all the way. And now, when Ishvara is running the show, why should I worry? What is there for worry? What is there for desiring? You have entered into a train from New York. You have to go to Washington. You are sitting in the train. Suppose you get excited when Washington will come. I am in a hurry to go. What kind of thing it is? You should just relax. Suppose the flight is even better. You fly into the sky. Newark Airport, you sit in the flight and goes into the sky. You are on the Atlantic. Now who is running the show? I am running the show. If you can see boarding card I have with me, you are wrong. You are not running the show. Pilot is not running the show. You ask him, he will tell. He is also as much in the control of nature's forces as anybody else. Who is running the show? Not this Virgin Atlantic running the show. Ishvara is running the show. Ishvara willing, God willing, we will get down in London. God willing otherwise, we will get down into Atlantic. There is no place to get down. We are ready for either. We are in the market for anything. Having taken refuge, we have no say. We are proud to say that we don't have any say in the matter. Ishvara takes over. Total surrender. Man mayaha mam upashritaha. Then, so this way, you remove all your investment from the Putnam savings and put elsewhere. So similarly, you remove all your investment from world, vetaraga bhaya krodhaha, and invest in Ishvara, manmaya mam upashritaha. You are eligible for jnanam, and you will discover, after all, that Ishvara is within you. There is nothing deficient in you. So it's a journey completed. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate.
పూర్ణస్య పూర్ణమాదాయ పూర్ణమేవావశిష్యతే. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతి. హరిః ఓం శ్రీగురుభ్యో నమః. హరిః ఓం తత్సత్. శ్రీకృష్ణార్పణమస్తు.